Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. So, with that taken care of, why don't I get into my full... Well, blah, 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 blah.
What's up, nerds? It's basketball. Welcome to Horse, a basketball podcast about everything except for the wins and losses. My name is Mike Schubert, and I'm joined by my trusted co-host, the Seattle Storm, being in the WNBA lottery and having a 10% chance of getting the number one pick, to the Seattle Storm not getting the number one pick and staying at number four. It's Adam Mamawala. Adam, how's it going?
I'm sure you were very much hoping for a Caitlin Clark situation, but you know what? The Indiana Fever are going to be fun to watch.
They are going to be fun. Now, here is my little sneaky insight, because I needed some copium to cope with the sadness. I knew it was only a 10% chance, but part of me was like, look, the Storm have won the number one pick to get Jewel Loyd and Breonna Stewart. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're just the Spurs, where we're very good at being bad only in short spurts of time. And I messaged Jordan Liggins saying, should I feel okay about the number four pick? I've heard this draft class is supposed to be pretty good. And our correspondent Jordan said that it's a tricky situation because all of these people can still use like their COVID year and stay an extra year in college if they wanted to. So for a lot of these players, they could stay back another year if they really want to cement their legacy. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like Caitlin Clark is probably go to the pros. I think it would be a bit foolish
to
stay back.
I think she's definitely going to go to the pros.
But now I am just hoping, and I don't want to root against anyone, but all the good players, I hope you all come in second place in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
So that you are so close. Like the Matt Leinart effect for college football, reference, where he kept like, they kept not winning the national championship or something, so he kept staying.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think I associate it more with the Buffalo Bills getting to four straight Super Bowls and losing all of them, but similar sort of thing. But the thing is, I think if Caitlin Clark, like if Iowa got to the finals again and lost again, I still think she goes to the WNBA. The only way I could see that not happening is if they like get shocked and lose in the first round of the tournament, where she'd be like, I can't possibly leave with that.
Can't end on that note.
But also, I kind of think that no matter what, she's going.
Unless she's like, ugh, Indiana, gross. Like, and then
she could pull a Kobe. She could be like, I don't want to play in Indiana. But with all due respect to all Midwestern states, if you're willing to play in Iowa, you're probably okay to play in Indiana. It's not like she's coming from like UCLA and she's like, I like being in California.
The other thing is Indiana, it's not like a bad team to go on. Yes, they didn't have a great record of late, but they do have Aaliyah Boston, who just won Rookie of the Year, and she was the number one pick last year. So like in theory, you would have an incredible running partner that is about your age and is already doing great things in the
league. Wasn't she the representative at the draft?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. And she looked cool and looked very happy, and it made me even sadder. But it's okay. I'm sure the Storm will still get someone good, but it wasn't the pie in the sky dreams I had. But let's get into more basketball discussions, potentially happier basketball discussions. And to prepare for those basketball discussions, let's go to the Teal Memorial Locker Room, which, according to the Christmas holiday season that we've got going on, is playing holiday music, but they have a long enough playlist where it's not repeating stuff, which was the downfall of when I worked at Papado Seafood Kitchen. They only played Cajun Christmas songs, and there's not that many, so the loop was like 42 minutes. And when you're a waiter, that's not long enough. You're working long shifts. You're hearing the same songs a lot.
I would love to feel sympathetic towards you, but I did used to work at Abercrombie and Fitch, and if you want to imagine the worst possible music playing just on a loop forever.
And the smells. How did you not have a headache every day?
Yeah, a lot of techno and a lot of fierce cologne being sprayed around. That was somebody's job, was to go around and spritz the store.
Did they wear like a gas mask?
No.
Or did they just?
No.
Okay. I feel like that's a future class action lawsuit. Did you work at?
You know what? Fumes from your own hair would actually block out the fumes of the...
That's going to be a future thing. Did you work at Abercrombie & Fitch between 2000 and 2010? You might... Yeah,
but unfortunately, Abercrombie & Fitch already sounds like a law office.
Oh, gross. It does. Yeah. Ugh, man. Goodness gracious. Anyway, let's get prepared in the Teal Memorial locker room. You know who's not using Abercrombie & Fitch deodorant / body spray / cologne? Unless they want to.
I would say certainly not Teal and certainly not any of our patrons. I would be surprised if they were.
I would be surprised, but if you are, you do you. Anyway, though, thank you to our producer-level patrons. Polly Burge, Kendra Hadley, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Don't Go Chasing Taco Falls, Bang, Bang, Roast Beef Debris, How About Them World Champion Denver Steamed Nuggets, Anna Reed, Steph Curry for Three, But Does It Really Matter If Your Team Sucks?
Bang.
Ooh, hi, Trish. Nicole Shepard, Chase Underulo, Mr. Bubbles Plays Ball, Naked Rachel, Josh Isn't Rich, Sidney Crosby Is a Vampire, Chelsea's Cousin, Ginger Spurs Boy, and Balls to the Walls.
Indeed, and shout out to, I believe Ginger Spurs Boy is Matthew, right?
Yes.
Matthew was visiting New York City and came to a show of mine last week. So very cool.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I might be seeing Matthew at least one of the Texas TNO shows that I have coming up. So fun stuff all around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know what else is fun stuff all around?
Being sponsored.
Being sponsored. Now, let's say hypothetically you live in Indiana and you're really happy about the Fever potentially getting a very, very good player.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to celebrate that. Well, you could celebrate with Shaker and Spoon. You could go to shakerandspoon.com/horse and get $20 off your first box, which is about 50% off. And then they will send you a box with all the fixins and mixins to make 12 total drinks, 4 servings of 3 different drinks.
That's like a full basketball team.
The same liquor.
You could give it to the Fever.
You could invite your whole team over. Yeah. Indiana Fever. You're going to have a party. Why don't you have one drink per player on the active roster?
Yeah.
And yeah, all you got to do is buy the liquor. They give you everything else. I've used them before for multiple boxes. I've used it just for having people over. I've used it in conjunction with a party. It's a great time. And then you get to keep the recipe cards and have that knowledge forever. It's great. So if you want to get that and get money off of your first box, go to shakerandspoon.com/horse. Now, you're going to hear some other ads. Some of them will be read by us. Others of them won't be. The ones that aren't read by us are inserted locally. So if you live internationally, not in America, in a non-English speaking country, you might hear an ad in your country's native language. But once those ads are complete, we'll get back to this episode of Horse.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. All right, Adam, what's going on? I know, I guess by the time people are hearing this, the big show will be over. So hopefully that went swimmingly.
Yes, I hope it did. And hopefully some of you folks came to it. And if you did, thank you so much for being there. And I hope I said hello to you after the show. But as of your listening to this, I don't really have much stuff for the remainder of this calendar year, but obviously there's not much of the year remaining anyway. I have kind of the same stuff that I've already mentioned before, which is that in January, I will be in Montana for some shows. Then I will be in Las Vegas for a week of shows. So if you're in the Vegas area, come out to the MGM and Brad Garrett's Comedy Club to see me there from January 8th through 14th. Then I have some other stuff in the works. The only things I probably haven't mentioned yet, still working on a Philly date, working on a DC date, hoping for a Louisville weekend, possibly a Dallas weekend in March. So I'll keep everybody posted on that. I'm also going to be in Boston again at the end of April. That's a new one. So I'll be in Boston doing some shows. I'm also going to be in Maine for the first time in a long time. And so I'll be in Portland, Maine, and then hopefully New Hampshire as well. But I got a little run going. But there will be plenty of time for me to tell you about that because it's 6 months from now. Shubes, what do you have going on?
Sure. So by the time people are hearing this, you can still see me if you live in Dallas today, because this would come out on the 18th of December. And we had to move the December 13th Dallas show for arguably a very, very cool reason. But it came together very, very last minute. But two of those Texas shows will have been completed, Austin and San Antonio. So again, I hope I said hello and thank you to everyone who came to those. But Dallas is December 18th. Houston is December 19th. And then I've got shows early next year coming to Florida, Gainesville, Tampa, and Orlando on February 8th, 9th, and 10th. And then February 18th, I'll be in Denver. February 20th, I'll be in Phoenix. And then by the time this episode comes out, I will have announced the information about live shows in Raleigh and Charlotte, North Carolina, I believe. So just check my social medias, the TNO social medias, the Potterill social medias for all of the details about that, because I don't have it in front of me right this second, but we are announcing it in a couple of days after the time of recording. Time travel is fun. But you can get tickets to all the shows that I'm doing at schub.es/tour. So how about we get into NBQ&A? Do we have an NBQ&A this episode?
NBQ&A for this episode is from Mira. Sent us an email with the subject line stats, which we notoriously don't talk about, but we do kind of, but we don't, but also we do. The question says, hey, Mike and Adam, this seems super random, but my stats professor is making everyone in my class give our opinion on the greatest five NBA players of all time. And obviously, only your opinions actually matter. So I thought I'd try and ask. Have a great rest of your day and happy holidays. Thank you. And same to you, Mira. Now, this is not specifically what you asked for, but because this is from your stats professor, I think it's only fair to answer this question purely based on stats. So,
okay, yeah. Give a more statistical justification of the top five.
Which this is honestly one of the times where I say, like, yeah, I think you can make the case that LeBron is better than Michael Jordan, because when you look at the body of work, it's kind of hard to argue that. So if we're talking stats, a couple names come to mind. I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar obviously is up there because of the number of points. Who else is like top of the list for you in terms of statistical categories, or like best overall statistical thing doing, if you will? Like if you were to pick the best fantasy player of all time, who would it be?
I feel like LeBron is the easy selection for number one statistical overall. He's already the number one most points scored and most minutes played player, and he's still playing incredibly well this year. Yeah. So we would think it's going to continue. So LeBron for sure. I think Kareem is another really good one. Really high amount of points, high number of championships, etc. I would say Steph should be up there as well, even though I think he still has more to go in the body of work category. But like his career is going to age so well with his shooting ability. And if you look at his statistics of three-point shooting, it's just astronomical already. And I don't think he's close to ending his career yet. So I would still put him up there. I think Wilt Chamberlain also makes sense as someone statistics wise, just because like you look at some of the numbers he put up in games, 100-point game. And then also like, oh, yeah, in the playoffs, he averaged 25 rebounds a game, like just absurd stuff. And then if you got to go another stats person.
I mean, is it crazy to say Russ or to say...
I was going to say like that. It's
Russ
not ridiculous.
Or Oscar Robertson? I feel like...
Right. It's not ridiculous to say either of those. I think the harder thing, if you're going to say greatest of all times, I feel like you kind of want to combine stats with championships, which makes me want to lean towards someone like Tim Duncan. Because I especially think Tim Duncan, if you're looking at like total hardware, because you've got, you know, all NBA teams, all defense teams, championships, like I think that he kind of checks the boxes of like just a consummate champion if you're going by those sort of statistics. So I feel like,
well, but if we're going down that route, then it would be impossible to not include Jordan, obviously, but also Bill Russell.
That's true. That's
true. Of course, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, anybody who like won, and Kobe, I think as well. Like Kobe might not have been as efficient and he might not have filled the stat sheet in terms of like rebounds and assists as much, but if we're talking about scoring, obviously pedigree in terms of championships won and overall scoring, like I think he's probably up there. There's so many good players. That, like,
there's so many good
players.
It's
almost impossible to answer.
If I have to go with a five, I'm going to say LeBron, Jordan, Steph, Kareem, and...
We didn't even give love to our boy Shaq.
I know, but statistically, I don't know that it's there. Who else do we say? LeBron?
LeBron
MJ,
and Jordan are
Steph,
the easy
Kareem.
Ones.
Yeah. And then the number five, I think you could make an argument for Wilt. You could make an argument for
Duncan.
So
is Steph an easy top five of all time for you?
I think so. Just because if you're looking at the three-point numbers, it's ridiculous. Like, it's just so ludicrous. And he's already got the most three-pointers. But yeah, I think he's got to be a top five.
I was referencing that State Farm commercial where someone says something is ludicrous and then ludicrous appears.
Ah, a surprise ludicrous.
Yeah, he probably got paid like $500,000 to appear for 2 seconds. Speaking of $500,000, I have to say, I saw my favorite tweet in relation to the NBA in-season tournament, which we are about to discuss, was LeBron is trying to do something that Michael Jordan was never able to do, leave Vegas up $500,000.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. So yeah, I feel like that mostly answers the question. I, you know, don't want to lock you into a five, but I think by us really struggling to narrow in on a five shows that this is a really tricky question and you can't really go wrong.
Yeah.
You can kind of stats your way into whatever reason you think.
I would like to know what your stats professor thinks about this question.
Yes. I think that would be fun. Please let us know what your stats professor would say in terms of best players. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. But thank you for the question and thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. So now let's get into Full Court Press. Get it? Like the news?
I do.
So as Adam alluded to, we have, and as LeBron let us know, you can never, ever wash away the first time someone does something. And the Lakers have won the first in-season tournament. They are the first winners and recipients of the NBA Cup. LeBron is the first in-season tournament MVP, cementing his legacy over Michael Jordan, who won zero in-season tournament MVP awards.
Hey, like, just the goat, doing goat stuff, you know.
Yeah, like overall, I think the in-season tournament was very cool. The players seemed to care. It was fun. It was something different. The courts were cool. Like, it spiced things up. I liked it. I do think it's funny to have like a full championship parade after it, though. Or I don't know, not the parade,
well, not
but like
parade,
Adam Silver's here they're bringing out the stuff and they're handing out the trophies. It's like I was watching the end of the game, and once it ended, I turned it off. Like, I didn't care.
I'm not proud of this because I do this podcast because I am a huge basketball fan. I was on a flight on the way home from my shows in Arkansas over the weekend. I had started watching the film Blackberry. I don't know if you, even know if you've heard of it. It's just like a film about the rise and fall of the phone Blackberry. It was very good.
Yeah, okay.
It stars Jay Baruchel and Glenn Howerton, who are both comedic actors who were in serious roles. They're great. All that to say, I wanted to watch the end of the movie, so I just watched that instead of the Lakers-Pacers championship game. I was like watching bits and pieces of it, and I was like, there's nothing worse than being on a flight and being like, all right, I've got 30 minutes left in this flight and 40 minutes left in this movie. I'm not going to just go find the movie again. I have to finish it. So, I did what I had to do.
So, I mean, I still think it was fun. The games were fun. There were some funny things that happened because of it. First off, the court was a special red and blue in-season tournament court, and the Lakers were forbidden from wearing their black jerseys from this season, their City Edition jerseys, that they had worn, I believe, in every other in-season tournament game, and they hadn't lost while wearing those jerseys. Ooh. So they wanted to wear those for the finals as well. And then the NBA was like, you can't because of concerns over the clashing color on the court. Like, the court, I guess, was too dark for the black.
I appreciate the colorblind inclusion.
Yeah, I think that's nice, but it was just so funny that the Lakers were upset about this. One unnamed player on the Lakers about it said, "That's ass." Oh. So, you know, it's fun speculation.
I mean,
about
thank
which
goodness,
Laker
though,
said that's
that
ass.
This was basketball and not baseball, because baseball reference, ding, ding, ding. Mm-hmm. Baseball, notoriously superstitious to the point of being ridiculous. Yeah. And I guarantee you that there was a story where Chris Sale, the pitcher for, at the time, the White Sox, cut off the sleeves of a jersey because he was so incensed about having to wear a particular jersey, and he felt that it like impacted his throwing motion. And LeBron as well, right?
LeBron famously, during the Adidas sleeved jersey era, when they thought more people would buy jerseys with sleeves on them because they didn't want to show off their armpits, LeBron ripped his sleeves during, I think, a finals game. And then they ended up winning. And that was like the most iconic thing of the sleeved jerseys. I think one is LeBron ripping them, and two is Steph making the first double bang shot in them. That's like the legacy of the sleeved jerseys, which are weirdly, I don't know, they make me feel very nostalgic about the mid-2010s. But I still don't know if I was in or out on them.
Do you have any other big takeaways from the in-season tournament in terms of like who impressed you the most? Obviously the Pacers had a great run to get to the final game. Like, who did the Knicks end up getting eliminated by, or did they just not get out of their group?
We got eliminated by the Bucks. We were the wild card selection in the East. We lost to the Bucks, who had like the most historic shooting performance in a game. It was something like, if Brook Lopez didn't brick a three at the end of the game, it would have been like statistically the highest field goal percentage by a team over a certain amount of shots taken. So it was like, we lost, but like the Bucks just played out of their minds against us. I
Was that the game where Randall, like, I texted you because Randall had a great game, but the Bucks scored like 150 points?
Yes, yes. Okay. The final score was like 146 to 121. So it was like, yeah, wild. Good for stats Julius Randle, but we lost. But I enjoyed the in-season tournament. I think it was good. I think the Pacers, it was funny because this whole season, to me, the Pacers reek of the DeMar DeRozan era Raptors, where it's like they're going to be great in the regular season. And then when a playoff series comes around, the other team's going to realize, you know who can't guard anybody? Tyrese Halliburton. What if we just put him in 75 pick and rolls? And that's what the Lakers did. And like, I think that's what's going to happen. Like, the Pacers are fun and they've got a cool team, but I think in the playoffs, it's going to be pretty easy to thwart them because they just don't play defense. And I think that a team can outsmart them. So I feel like it was a microcosm of what I expect for the Pacers this coming playoffs, because it was like, this is effectively a mini playoffs. But I think the in-season tournament was fun. The thing that's weird with the in-season tournament, though, there was some, you know, rumblings on the Knicks subreddit about this. Because of the way it worked with how it all goes down of like the quarterfinals and what teams you play and the wins and losses and all that, if we had not made it to the in-season tournament, we would have played an extra game against the Wizards and the Bulls, I think, are two bad Eastern Conference teams. Hmm. But because we were in the running and in the playoffs, we have to play like the Bucks and the Celtics in extra time.
Eek.
So it's this weird thing of like
punishment.
Yeah, it's this weird thing of like being kind of good in the in-season tournament, or like making it but not winning it sucks, because you then end up, I guess, playing the other teams that were in contention for the in-season tournament. So I think it's one of those things where it's just like, is two games going to really affect the sample size in the grand scheme of things?
But no,
like,
but
yeah,
it could
affect
seeding.
I would love to play the Wizards.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
if it comes down to one game at the end of the year, I will be furious that we didn't get to play the Wizards in extra time, because that's a free win, baby. Mm-hmm. That's a free W. So,
in your opinion, how for real are the Lakers as a contender?
I think they're like the inverse Pacers, like not going to be great during the regular season, but will be scary during the playoffs. And I think it all comes down to health. It's all going to come
if Anthony Davis is healthy for the playoffs, they can win the finals.
Right. If Anthony Davis is healthy and LeBron is healthy, they're scary. If one of those guys is at least banged up, like, you need both of those guys at 100% with the rest of their roster. So if those guys aren't both firing on all cylinders, I do not have high hopes for them.
Yeah. And I am happy to report that friends of the pod, CJ Toledano and Megan Gailey, CJ is a huge Lakers fan. Megan is a huge Pacers fan. They attended the game and they are still married, as far as I know, which is good.
Yes. Yes. They did post a tweet of it. CJ tweeted saying, "We're still together," or something. And then Megan replied, "Close mouth smile. You can tell I'm pissed." Pretty good.
What a cool thing, though.
Yeah, that's so cool that their two teams happen to do it. Here's hoping that we can somehow, I don't know, it's always in East and West, though, so we'll never get Bulls-Knicks, right?
But we can get a Bulls-Knicks. I mean, honestly, I think it has been since the 90s that the Bulls and Knicks have played in the playoffs. So
yeah,
I'm very much hoping for that sometime in the, feels like a long way in the future for me right now. But the Bulls have won 4 straight, baby. I'm ready to be hurt again.
It's so funny that every time the Bulls are like, all right, blow it up, they're like, what if we keep winning? It's just like, it's just the worst thing that could have happened to you.
Yeah, no, they still will. And they're also winning without Zach LaVine. So that's even more of a reason to probably
incentive
trade him.
To trade him. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, they just beat the Spurs, who like, they can beat people, but they're not a good team.
Right. And that's something I wanted to cover for the remainder of Full Court Press, is that we don't necessarily talk about the wins and losses, but something that is fun happening this season that did not happen last season. I feel like last season was the year of parity, where it was like every team is good. Like, there was a point where the Lakers were like still in the running and they were like 13th in the West out of 15. And it was wild. This season has been a little bit different. You've got the Detroit Pistons, who went the entire month of November, where I believe they played 18 games, potentially 19 games, and they won 0 of them.
They're really bad.
They are really 2-20, not great. The Wizards are 3-18. And the Spurs, the only reason more people are not talking about their 14-game losing streak is that the Pistons had a longer one. So the Spurs are 3-18. Now, you've also got some other teams not doing super well. Blazers 6-15, but they're supposed to be bad. Grizzlies 6-15, Hornets 7-13.
The Warriors are the shocking one. The Warriors are kind of where the Lakers were last year. They're like right on the outside of the play-in
area. They very much feel like the Lakers, where it's like, they're not great, but they are the Warriors. So we're going to
give
them
the benefit of
the
doubt. And nobody would want to face them in a play-in or playoff.
Absolutely not. But what's interesting this season is that you've got some real bottom feeder teams. And that was not what was happening last season. It didn't really happen until later. And I think it's because last season there were these teams that we all felt like, oh, the Jazz are going to be terrible. They just traded everyone away. And then they ended up just like being at the top of the league to start the year.
Right.
And it sucks because I feel like last year, anytime there was a game on, I was like, yeah, let's watch it. And now with like five teams that are just unwatchable, there's more games where I'm like, I'm not like, even when the Knicks are playing, I'm just like, the Knicks, like the Pistons, right. Am I going to watch the Knicks play the Pistons? And that stinks. But on the flip side, there's a lot of teams that are really fun this year that was more surprising. Like the Magic being so good is really fun. The Timberwolves being good is really fun. So the Pacers being really good is fun. But some of these teams are just real, real stinkers. Real stinkers.
Well, it was fun. And I guess, I mean, I would think that they're going to keep doing the in-season tournament. I don't, there's no reason to think that they wouldn't.
No, I think it's fun. I would love to see them switch it up to where you can have more games to determine the seeding rather than just like the four. Though I did enjoy the tie break that they did was point differential, meaning if you win a game by 10 points, you get a plus 10. If you lose by two, you get a minus two. And that's how you did the tiebreakers. So you had a lot of games, even if they were blowouts, where it was like, well, if this team wins by 35 points, they can take the higher seed. And then teams are like, all right, let's put them up on the Wizards, baby. Unfortunately, your Bulls were on the receiving end of three such blowouts, and they complained three different times about people running up the score on them. But like,
yeah, you know what? Here's some advice. Be better. That's it's the NBA. This isn't Little League.
I love play till the buzzer type stuff. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. I hate the whole, like, we have to run out the clock and then get a couple turnovers by letting the shot clock expire.
That's
like,
the weirdest thing.
Let them shoot.
The only thing I'll say, if it's under 24 seconds left, I'm okay with running out the clock. But the idea that if you're up by 20, you just have to start dribbling and having 24 second violations with 2 minutes left. Like, who started that?
It's so wild that there is a thing in the game where it's like there is a penalty if this happens. And that's not justification enough where if someone chucks up a three with 2 seconds left on the shot clock, people will be like, oh, it's disrespectful. It's like I'm the team. It's not the person does not get charged with it in this situation, but it's like the team will be charged with a turnover. Like, can I just shoot the ball? I totally agree. If you're up by more than enough where they're not even fouling you, like you're up by 8 or 10 or whatever, and there's 12 seconds left, then yeah, just dribble it out.
But just treat it like an all-star game. Just trade half-court shots just for fun.
There was a time where the Knicks were winning a game by not that much. It was like 5 points or something, and there were 15 seconds left, and there was a turnover, and Obi Toppin did a cool through-the-legs dunk. It's like, look, man, 5 points is not enough. We might as well score, and if we're going to have a wide-open dunk, do something cool. People paid money to be here. Totally. Like, do something fun. There was a game I was at MSG where the Knicks were beating the Spurs by a little bit, and they did an off-the-backboard pass dunk to Mitchell Robinson. It was fun, and the game was a blowout, so like the last 3 minutes were kind of boring. Do fun things. Let's have fun, and that's the in-season tournament. It's fun. Let's have fun. Thesis complete. Let's continue to have fun. You want to hit us with a three-on-three for this episode?
Before we do that, I want to I want to be the bigger person here, and I want to give you 10 seconds, no more.
Okay, okay.
But I'm going to give you 10 seconds at the end of Full Court Press to be excited about Juan Soto going to the Yankees. What do you got?
He's a very big baseball boy. He hits the ball very hard, and I think that will be good. I like that he is on the team, and the Yankees are better when people hate us, and now people hate us more.
There you go. I think that was right at 10 seconds. You did a great job. I did send an angry emoji as part of my congratulations that you got Juan Soto, but he's a great player. And as a baseball fan and someone who lives about a 20-minute walk from Yankee Stadium, it is cool that I can go see him whenever I want.
Yeah, go for it. Why not?
1, 2, 3. 3, 2, 1. 3 on 3.
So with that taken care of, let me get into my 3 on 3. And as you know, as we just talked about, despite a surprising recent 4-game winning streak that will probably end tonight or tomorrow when the Bulls play the Bucks and Nuggets, it has been pretty tough going in Chicago. But when you're a Bulls fan, there's one person you can always count on. Zach LaVine? Nope. DeMar DeRozan? Still no. Certainly, I must be talking about Michael Jordan. I'm still not. I'm not even talking about the GOAT. I'm talking about the Bull.
Yes, Benny.
Benny the Bull, to be exact. Since 1969, nice. Long before the Chicago Bulls were a relevant basketball franchise, Benny the Bull has been entertaining fans both young and old. So today, I proudly present my three favorite and least favorite Benny the Bull bits.
Yes, good. I feel like we've touched on Benny the Bull bits, but I don't think we've ever dedicated a 3-on-3 to it. This makes me very excited. Benny the Bull is featured in my childhood basketball book that I read, Ooh. Wacky Basketball Facts to Bounce Around, which did nice. Have Michael Jordan on the cover, and Benny the Bull had a whole 2-page spread about some of the antics that he did, including somersaults and riding a tricycle.
There you go. Now, this is, of course, a 3-on-3, but to give you a bit of that actually happened flavor, let me present a bit of history about Benny before I get into my favorite bits of his. Much like Charles Entertainment Cheese, aka Chuck E. Cheese, Benny does, in fact, have an official full-length name, which is...
Oh.
Do you know what it is?
No.
It is Benjamin T. Bull. And I have to
is
be honest. Yes. And I am embarrassed to admit how long it took me to figure that out. I was like scouring the internet, like, what the hell does the T stand for? And finally, I was like, oh, Benny the Bull, Benny T. Bull. So it's also particularly fun that I couldn't figure that out, given that I went to a college called TCNJ, where the running joke is like, why did we abbreviate the word the
oh my
in
God.
The College of New Jersey?
You're right. That's so weird.
Yeah, there used to be a running joke. I was an ambassador at TCNJ, which meant that I would give tours to prospective students, that sort of thing. And my college used to be called Trenton State College, and then it changed the name to the College of New Jersey. So underneath the pool in the aquatic center, there was a huge T that stood for Trenton, but they left it there. So the running like dad joke that we would use on our tours was like, now it just stands for the.
The only thing I can guess, because I was like, is there a CNJ that they couldn't do? And
no,
I've Googled
so.
CNJ. It's something that exists in Brazil.
Yeah, it could have just been CNJ.
But also there's something called, there is the Central Railroad of New Jersey, but wouldn't that be the CRNJ? No, the reporting mark of it is CNJ. That's weird. So it feels like they screwed it up.
Either way, Benjamin
that has
T-Bull,
to be my guess.
The
yeah,
T stands for the, not to be confused with the G stands for gets, but the yep. T stands for the. Now, Benny was apparently named after the Bulls' first public relations manager and stadium announcer, Ben Brantley.
His middle name was also the.
It was actually Ben Bentley, but yes, whose middle name was ben, certainly the.
Ben.
Now, Benny was also one of the promotional tools that general manager Pat Williams, not to be confused with current Bulls player Patrick Williams, used to get people to attend Bulls games. Now, at this point, I have to pause to read something verbatim from the Benny the Bull Wikipedia entry. You know how Wikipedia is always asking for money? I think random non sequiturs like this must be the reason why, because this had me absolutely dying. There's a brief section about Da Bull, who is Benny's cousin who was known for his acrobatic dunks. Per Wikipedia, and I quote, "Da Bull does not have a tail like other bulls. He lost his tail while practicing his amazing dunks at the United Center. By not having a tail, Da Bull has been able to perform even more slam dunks and tumbling because his long skinny tail no longer gets in the way. An injury to his hoof during the 1999-2000 Bulls season sidelined Da Bull briefly, but he returned to the trampoline after a short recovery period. His performer, Chester Brewer, was arrested in 2004 for illegally selling marijuana from his car, therefore retiring the mascot," end quote. Didn't see that last part coming, but there you have it.
No. Wow. I mean, yeah, I like the thing where it's like, okay, they have to get rid of the tail because it's like a tripping hazard / get caught in the rim hazard, sure.
But he injured his hoof?
I mean,
maybe it was medical marijuana because his hoof injury was hurting him. Maybe anyone
that is a
that?
Fun injury report thing to be like, our dunker guy sprained his ankle. But yeah, man, if you've got such a sweet gig as Da Bull, you can't jeopardize that by selling marijuana illegally. Come
so
on.
Too did the dude you're getting a Dell guy back in the day.
Oh, well, yeah. And I think also, oh, gosh, too many times.
But I actually, I don't want to name drop or brag here, but I actually met Benny the Bull at a MetLife work event for my dad when we lived in Illinois. And at the time, I was like young enough to know that there was a person in the costume, but I wasn't old enough to realize that there are sometimes different people in it. So then every time I saw Benny during a Bulls game, I was kind of like Buddy the Elf, where I was like, Benny, I know him.
But wasn't that a whole thing where like they had the same guy for a really long time? Because I feel like that guy retired like 2 or 3 years ago and it was a big deal.
They did, but I don't think that it was always that guy at like an event. Like, it was always that guy at the games. But if you, like, if MetLife rents Benny the Bull to come to a party, it's not necessarily going to be the guy who's, like, the actual Benny the Bull.
So you met the non-actual Benny the Bull.
I think so. I mean, I didn't see him without his Benny the Bull head, but that's my guess. But at the time, as a little kid, I would always do, like, the Leo DiCaprio pointing at the screen meme every time I saw Benny at a game. Nice. In any case, Benny is one of the most iconic mascots in the NBA. And I want to be clear that for the purposes of this 3-on-3, I am only going to be talking about Benny-specific bits, not any members of his extended family. Extended family, you say? Do tell. Oh, I certainly will. Benny's family includes Mini Benny, a smaller version of him, perhaps with a child inside, but if I had to guess, just a small woman, I think. Then you have Big Ben, the inflatable version. Benson, an even larger inflatable version that I had never seen before. Mama Betty, who's essentially Benny in drag with a dress, pearls, and a walker. It's like very Tyler Perry-esque.
So Mrs. Doubtfire. Essentially, okay, yeah. Madea, yeah.
Inflatables, which are more inflatable Bennies that are somehow apparently different from Big Ben and Benson. And finally, Gus T. Bull, which I'm assuming Gus T. is meant to be like gusty, like windy for the Windy City. Mm-hmm. It's a real stretch. But anyway,
The only thing I can guess is maybe he's the mascot for their G League team, who's like the Windy City Bulls or whatever.
Okay, because he's a different color bull who dunks sometimes, but I've literally never seen him. So I don't know if he's
gotta be the G League guy.
I think that checks out. That's funny that like they have like the Windy City mascot, but then since he's like a lower rank, he's like, well, he's gusty. He's not like windy per se, but he's gusty.
Maybe Brian Windhorst, aka Windy, can't do it. I've filed for trademark.
All right. Last but not least, before we finally get to the list, there was no way to fit this in because it was a one-time thing. But did you know that Benny the Bull was once on Jerry Springer? I don't know what this was for, but they set up this whole thing where a human woman is his girlfriend. And she's complaining about how he's never around and he just has games all the time. And then Benny comes out and it's revealed that she has left him for a new man who is then revealed to be the bigger inflatable Benny. And they have a drawn out physical fight. And it's absolutely bonkers. I don't know what the context was. It's just something that I found in my research. I don't know why it exists. I don't
know
if
you find a YouTube video of it, we got to link that on the episode.
1000%. I absolutely will. I absolutely will.
Good.
But with all of that exposition out of the way, let's finally get to the list. And I'm going to start with my least favorite ongoing Benny bits. At number 3, we have Benny's sexual dance moves.
Mm.
Some people might find them funny, but I frankly find them disturbing. It's one thing to see Benny do the salsa. It's one of my favorite Benny gifs. But in recent years, I feel like Benny has trended more towards a lot of like twerking and gyrating, most notably courtside in front of a stone-faced Jay-Z and Diddy, who were both trying way too hard to be cool and not laugh. I don't know if you've ever seen that clip. I think it might be from an All-Star game when like all the mascots are there. And Benny is just like trying to do Beyonce dances and like grind in front of them. And they are not having it at all. Now, I might be old-fashioned, but I want a goofy mascot. I don't want one that makes me question whether or not I'm a furry, which would be okay if I were, but now I'm just confused.
Yeah, they're supposed to be there for the kids too, so like you don't have to explain to the 5-year-old what's going on, you know.
No. At number 2, we have Benny's ongoing Where's Waldo bit, which is kind of self-explanatory. They just put him in a red and white horizontal striped shirt and fans try to find him in the stadium. I just feel like it's kind of an outdated bit, and it's also not that hard to find the only fuzzy bull in the crowd. Like, it's not really the shirt that gives him away so much as the fact that he's literally the mascot. I just think it's silly. At number 1, and I already know I'm going to be sparking some serious controversy over this one, I'm really not a fan of Benny's signature bit, which is, do you know what it is?
The popcorn bit?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Wow.
Benny is well known for throwing buttery popcorn all over an entire section of paying customers. Now, to be fair, Benny knows that this is problematic. Benny tweeted from his official Twitter account. Yes, he has one. And yes, it's absolutely worth a follow at Benny the Bull. But on New Year's Day of 2022, Benny tweeted, quote, "My New Year's resolution is to not spill any popcorn in 2022. I really think I'm going to be able to do it." Popcorn emoji. And then an emoji that I've never seen before. It looked like someone dropping things and then like a line through it, like a no dropping things emoji. They might have just made it for the purposes of the tweet. It's like no littering.
I believe there is a no littering.
So that must be what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But some people love this ongoing bit. You might be one of those people, but I'm a neat freak. And I also don't like people in my personal space. And my opinion is, if I've spent enough money to go to a Bulls game, I really don't want greasy, buttery popcorn all up in my hair and on my nice clothes.
Is it greased up? It's not like...
It's like yellow, buttery popcorn. I don't think that it's like covered in movie theater butter.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like bright yellow, which in my mind, I have not tasted or
been
felt
it. Been on the receiving end. Yeah.
But I do... I just don't like food getting all over the place. I also don't like food waste, and I feel the same way at weddings. And I don't remember if you and Kelly did this, but I really don't love it when people like smush the cake into each other's mouths.
Oh, Kelly and I, that was explicit that we were not doing it.
You literally look so good. Why do that?
Our entire thing of the wedding was like, how do we minimize the cake cutting? This is always the worst part of any wedding because everyone just has to stand around and watch you do something very boring. It's like, we want to keep dancing. So we were like, how low profile can we make it? It was the quickest thing ever.
I think the fact that I don't specifically remember it is the best compliment I can pay you.
Mission accomplished. Let's get back to dancing to Calabria 2008.
Indeed. All right, let's get to my favorite ongoing Benny bit, starting with number three. Benny attempting a backwards half-court shot.
Oh,
he
so
does
cool.
this every single game, and it's one of the reasons that having NBA League Pass continues to be worth it, even in a season where the Bulls are a dumpster fire. I believe it's usually during a timeout in the second half that he does this, but Benny will stand at half-court, and then standing backwards, fling a ball with one arm over his head towards the basket. He doesn't always make it, but he's always pretty damn close. Like,
it's
he probably
impressive.
Attempts 20 or 30 of them in that time. He rarely misses completely. Like, he almost always hits the backboard or some part of the rim, which is pretty impressive in a heavy suit with fuzzy Muppet hands, as far as I'm concerned. Like,
that's a hard enough feat to do just as a human.
Yes, I totally agree. It's endlessly entertaining. And when he hits it, people go absolutely bonkers. How many attempts do you think it would take you, like, not in a costume, just you as Mike? I feel like I could do it in maybe like 20 or 30 attempts, but that might be optimistic.
In the backwards throw?
Yeah. Only because I used to do it just to like goof around.
I've never really done it. I think it would take me 20 to 30 attempts to make a half quarter like regular shot. Behind the back, I think it would take me like 180. Like, I do not think I would be good at all.
Interesting. I think we should try this. The next time we go to a basketball court, we're going to try to figure this out.
That'll take us so long. We'd have to go to a basketball court where they have 38 basketballs and a full team of rebounders.
That or like definitely a place where no one else is playing because it would be so annoying to do that.
Yeah. But I think it's really cool. It's really impressive. And this is my longstanding thing. Every single game, the halftime performance should either be half-court shot or Red Panda.
I'm with you.
The woman who's on the giant unicycle that flips balls under her head. That's it. Don't give me the thing where like the kids play basketball. Don't give me like some of the performance things like circus acts are cool. But like, you know what's always cool? Someone trying a half-court shot.
Yep, I'm with you.
At least
except
that
for that
be the
one
thing,
guy
like,
in Los Angeles. I don't know if you saw that.
Where he like twisted his ankle
tore
and
his
stuff?
Achilles.
Oh, no.
I mean,
no.
That's one way to honor that's Kobe, but I don't think it was intentional.
It was bad. Maybe it should be a thing in between every quarter. Like, between the first and the second, give me a half-court shot. Between the third and the fourth, give me a half-court shot. And you can do the fan one between the first and the second, the mascot one between the third and the fourth, and then halftime, we can do whatever. But, like, once per game, I need a half-court shot attempt. I need it.
Yeah,
it's
I'm
so
with you.
Fun. It's always satisfying. Always
1,000%. 1,000%. And as someone who, you know, not to brag, has, in fact, done a contest on the court at the Garden, people were into it.
People love the contest. I saw people do pop a shot at half court at MSG. The crowd was
electric. I love the little kid dunk contest where they bring out like a play school hoop and they have like a 2 or 3 year old do it. Have you ever seen that?
I have not seen that. That's good.
It's great.
That's good.
All right, let me move on to number two, where we have a specific incident that I'm going to let slide despite it not being an ongoing bit. So in January of 2022, Devin Booker famously got into a fight with the Raptors mascot for distracting him during free throws. So much so that Booker asked for the mascot to be moved from behind the basket. And you remember this, right?
Yes. Right. For context, this was during one of the seasons where COVID precautions were still going on. I think this was when Toronto was taking it more seriously than America because we handled it just so well. So I understand Devin Booker's anger because that's super distracting if the only person in the crowd is the mascot distracting you. But then he was a good sport about it. They like changed their profile pictures on Twitter to pictures of each other. It became a whole thing.
Now, less than a month later, the Phoenix Suns played in Chicago, and Benny the Bull was ready for his moment. So while Booker was at the free throw line, they did a bit where Benny tried to run behind the basket to distract him, but was then intercepted by two security guards who restrained him and like dramatically dragged him into the tunnel. It was arguably even more distracting than what the Raptor did. And it was incredibly amusing. I'm guessing Booker was not super amused by it, but I think he probably was a reasonably good sport. But hey, you know, mascots got to stick together.
I think so. And Booker, the foul shot that he got mad about, it was like 92 to 95 with like 17 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Like, it was an incredibly important foul shot.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think that was heat of the moment for him.
All right. Finally, at number one, we have something that wins just because of randomness alone. At most, if not all Bulls games, Benny does a full front flip down the baseline as the ball is tipped at the beginning of the game. The first time I saw it, I thought I was losing my mind, but he basically starts at one baseline, sprints to the scorer's table as the tip is in the air, and then does a full acrobatic front flip into like a ninja roll and then gets out of dodge right as play begins. There have been a few times where the ball ends up getting tipped in his direction and the players on the other team who aren't expecting it are like very thrown off by this flying red object. It's such a silly way for a game to begin. It's my favorite thing always, and just the optics of it are absolutely absurd. So I love it.
I did not know about this one. I'll have
a compilation. I'm going to be providing links for all of these things because some of them are more
great.
Visual. But if you can just picture a red fuzzy blur flipping across the court, it is absurd. But there you have it, folks, a Benny the Bull appreciation segment that will be expanded in my 5-on-5. You're welcome. And let's get to hear that actually happen.
So this was inspired by something I saw on Instagram recently. The NBA has been posting a lot about the various accoutrements that you can get that is City Edition themed. They've got NBA ugly Christmas sweaters that look like the City Edition jerseys and stuff like that. The Clippers made a post with some of their players wearing some of these merchandise items looking very fashionable. And it reminded me of a time that someone who's on the Clippers now, Paul George, he was on the Pacers and once did a fashion photo shoot that tanked the Indiana Pacers season. Do you remember the infamous GQ photo shoot that ruined the 2013-2014 Indiana
Pacers?
No, not at all.
So I'm excited to hear about it.
All right. Let me first and foremost send you in the chat an image. This was in one of the issues of GQ. This was about the Pacers because this was like the year after the Pacers were becoming really good and becoming a threat to the league. So they were being put on the map. And here's the photo. If you're listening, this is probably going to be what we'll post on Instagram as the image announcing that this episode is live. So this photo is just this very infamous photo. And to describe it for the folks listening at home, you've got from left to right, David West wearing a rolled up tracksuit top with a towel around his neck. And it no shirt underneath the zip-up jacket, and it's very unzipped. He's got his pants pretty low to where his underwear is exposed at the top. Then you've got George Hill wearing a beanie, very askew on his head, and a denim shirt that has got the top 1, 2, 3, 4 buttons unbuttoned, so you can very much see his chest tattoo. You've got Paul George in a Pacers tank top, but the tank top is cut very, very deep like a muscle shirt. You can see Paul George's right nipple. You then have Roy Hibbert, who is dressed more modestly, though still with like a deep tank top where you can see some of his chest hair, and then an open jacket. And then you've got Lance Stephenson wearing a cool backwards hat, a tank top, some sweatpants, and then a Gatorade towel around his neck, and he's looking very menacing. I believe all of the boys are oiled up, so their muscles are looking nice and shiny. And this was a photo that made its way into GQ. People clowned the team for it because they looked like an R&B 90s group, and then they started playing terrible basketball afterwards.
That's so funny. Wow. I mean, it is... It's a silly looking photo for sure. And that's a perfect description of it. It looks like an R&B album cover for sure.
Yeah. So I want to give a shout out to an article that was on iPacers.com written in 2017 by Derek Kramer, who kind of recapped a lot of this. And then I used some other sources to find more of this information. But Derek had a pretty good summation of it looking back at this wild photo. But here's the story of this infamous photograph. So let's go back to the 2013-2014 Indiana Pacers. In the previous season, they had won their division going 49-32, which is pretty respectable. Now, you might be thinking, Mike, 49 plus 32 is 81. Aren't there 82 games in an NBA season? Yes, but they had one game canceled that season because they were supposed to play the Celtics, but it was right after the Boston Marathon bombing.
Oh, gosh.
And the game got canceled. I know, just one of those like weird things that I would never have remembered as like an NBA factoid. Like I could see that coming up in Jeopardy.
Right.
Like the Pacers and the Celtics played one less game in 2013. What was the reason? Yeah.
So it would be a pretty wild, grim like, Jeopardy time question, stamp. You're right.
It would be grim, but it was just a, I was like, what the heck is up with this 81
Yeah, because you'll
season?
See that in baseball because of like rainouts if they don't end up making it up. But in the NBA, like when is there, there has actually been an occasional rainout if there's like a leaky roof, but you don't see it a lot.
Leaky roof, you've got condensation on the court if it's an arena where there's also an NHL yeah. team, but then they usually play them like pretty soon after. But that season went very well for them. They made their way to the Eastern Conference Finals. They lost to the LeBron, Wade, Bosch Heat, the Heatles, in a game seven. So they took them to seven and ended up losing. But there were still high hopes. It was like, all right, Paul George had made his first All-Star team. Roy Hibbert had made his first All-Star team. They were, you know, on the map. And then the next season comes. They start the year 33-7, which is incredible. They were the best record in the league at that time. Paul George and Roy Hibbert both made the All-Star team again, so second consecutive selection. They had the best defense in the league by a mile. Mm-hmm. So on January 29th, 2014, I found an article that was posted by Kirk Goldsberry, who was with Grantland at the time. And Kirk wrote that the Pacers had a defensive rating of 93.9. What defensive rating means is basically how many points the other team scores on them during a game, what you can expect. Mm-hmm. You also see sometimes defensive ratings being done to be like per 100 possessions so that it can adjust for if a team plays fast and slow, stuff like that. So their defensive rating, let's just round it up to 94. League average was about 102. Mm. And the second best team was your Chicago Bulls at that time. And theirs was about 98. So the difference between the number one defense in the league and the number two defense in the league was the same as number two and number 15.
That is
the Pacers were
that's a great
astronomically
stat.
They yeah. were astronomically good
wow.
at defense. Kirk went on to say that teams playing against the Pacers had the worst field goal percentage close to the basket, so anything within 8 feet of the basket. Any team that played against the Pacers had the worst field goal percentage. This was also the case for anyone shooting three-pointers. So if you played the Pacers, you were going to shoot the worst at the rim and beyond the three-point line, which are the two places you want to shoot the basketball most often to win yeah. games. So they were just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Pacers continued to look good until this fateful photo shoot on February 25th, 2014. The photo shoot dropped. And I believe the photo was leaked before the actual article came out. There were some tweets like, this is going to be in the next issue of GQ. What do you think? And everyone was like, this is bad. This is bad. I remember at the time I was like, it's fun. Why not?
Yeah.
But everyone else was like, this is stupid.
I love the idea that people do the body image of ESPN where they're literally naked and nobody clowns them as much as mm-hmm. this photo.
Yeah, I guess like with the body image, there's like a purpose. They're like, let's showcase interesting muscles on the most ripped people on
right.
earth. But this was just like, what if the Pacers were sexy? So I don't know. But that gets posted. At the time of posting, the Pacers are 42-13. That's a 76% winning percentage. After the shoe went live, they finished the season 14-13, which is a 52% winning percentage. Their winning percentage dropped 24 percentage points. Ugh, not ideal. They still did end up winning the division, which was okay. But if you look at some of the statistical differences in before and after the photo with two key players, Paul George and Roy Hibbert, they're two all-stars. It's just such a stark drop in their statistics. For example, let's look at Paul George's field goal percentage from as the year goes on. October, 49%, November, 47%, December, 47%, January, 41%, February, 40%, March, 37%, April, 40%. Like, it's just, ooh. And then Roy Hibbert had just like such a stark difference between before and after. He's basically shooting between 45 and 52% the whole year. And then after February and March, 42%. And then in April, 24%.
Yikes.
Like, there were some big drops. Roy Hibbert's points per game was like slashed in half. It was just, they just truly fell off a cliff. It was just ridiculous. Now, statistics aside, there were also incredibly bad vibes around the Indiana Pacers after the photo shoot. Roy Hibbert got frustrated and leaked out to a media person that the Pacers have, quote, some selfish dudes on the team saying that they need to, you know, get the ball to some of the big men. He's saying the big men are just out there standing around and it's making them look bad. Hmm. Then there was an off-court rumor that stated Paul George had an affair with Roy Hibbert, his teammate, with Roy Hibbert's fiance.
Oof.
Now, the start of this was an anonymous email that was sent to reputable website balleralert.com, which I had never heard of until I was researching this. So I don't think it was very legitimate. And to squash these rumors, Paul George went to the one place you do that, Instagram. And he posted a photo of him, Roy Hibbert, and George Hill fishing. And the caption was, quote, "These rumors have got to stop. It's getting old now, and all you that believe them are ignorant. Hashtag brothers."
Hmm.
So, squashed the beef. I believe that did squash it, though. They interviewed Roy Hibbert, and he was like, this is ridiculous. So I think it was all completely farcical, but there were just all these random rumblings. Now, there was something very real that did happen after the photo shoot. So just before the photo shoot, at the NBA trade deadline, the Pacers traded Danny Granger, who was like this beloved player who had been on the Pacers for a very long time. He was injury prone. It wasn't great, but he was kind of like Udonis Haslem on the Heat, where he's like the heart and soul of the team. Mm-hmm. They traded him for Evan Turner, who had a very similar play style to Lance Stephenson. So this upset Lance Stephenson, who was on the team, and it was like, why'd we trade for a guy who's so similar to me? What does this mean about my role? Apparently, the two of them did not get along very well, and they got into a literal fist fight the night before the NBA playoffs.
It's basically how Terrence Mann felt when the Clippers got James Harden.
So they had an actual fist fight the night before the playoffs. They had to be separated.
Like
Evan Turner had cuts and bruises in a practice.
Okay.
It was at a practice, and Evan Turner went on the Low Post, a very good NBA podcast, and talked about it. And we learned from this that it was instigated by notable good guy and good vibes person, Andrew Bynum, who the Pacers for at the trade deadline. Yeah, this guy. Just look
at Andrew Bynum, who once almost killed J.J. Barea.
Yeah, if you want to see how bad of a person Andrew Bynum is, just YouTube search or just go to the episode page of horsehoops.com. Andrew Bynum, J.J. Barea. He was losing a game by a lot of points, and what did he do? Elbowed a man in midair for no good reason.
He could have, not hyperbolic to say he could have broken his neck easily.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. If you're in midair and you get hit with that much force, like, who knows how you're going to land? It's beyond dangerous. One of the most brutal things I've seen while watching a game. And I was watching that game live, and I was what's going on?
That was Phil Jackson's last game coaching the Lakers.
Oh, what a way to go out. My goodness. So Evan Turner was on the Low Post years after and talked about this. Here's what he says. Quote, "What really happened was, I don't know if I was guarding Lance or Lance was guarding me. We're guarding each other. We're going over offensive plays. Andrew Bynum, it was partially his fault. Lance must have scored on Bynum and was like, ooh, easy. And I think I had to guard Lance again. I might have tripped him or something, and Bynum's kind of hyping it up like, ooh. I think Lance tried to move me back, tried to little boy me. I slapped the ball down. Before that, Lance said something to Bynum like, he ain't got the heart I got. Something along the lines of getting under your skin. Lance is from New York. I'm from Chicago. New Yorkers, they may talk a little more and it means nothing to them. As opposed to me, I might take that more serious." Which, as New Yorker, that tracks for Chicagoan. Does that track where like you might get a little more perturbed by trash talk?
I think so.
Anything said within the lines means nothing.
I think in New York, it's just an expectation that people are going to talk shit. Whereas like Midwesterners, even on the basketball court, tend to be a little more reserved and polite. So if they say some shit, they mean it.
Yeah. For me, and I always remember this clear as day. I was playing pickup with a guy who was from New York in Houston, and we were guarding against each other, and we talked trash the entirety of the game. And the second one of the teams scored whatever point we were playing to win, we shook hands. We're like, great game. Yeah, well done.
And everyone else was like, wait, I thought you guys hated each other. You're like, no, we were just, that was part of it.
My friend Colin was like, what the fuck is happening? He was like, oh, yeah, it's just what we do. So Evan continues. "When it comes down, I think Lance tries to big boy me with an elbow. I slap the ball down, so Bynum was like, damn. So when I turned around, Lance's finger is like, yo, don't ever do that again. When he put his finger in my face, I push him back. He fakes a punch, and then we both grab each other's necks, and David West broke it up. Lance had nails, so he scratched me. Turner did clarify, though, no punches were thrown. But then they had to be separated. He was bleeding and everything.
Damn.
And that was the night before the NBA playoffs."
How did they do in said playoffs?
Well, in the first round, they did squeak by the Atlanta Hawks, but Roy Hibbert played atrociously. He averaged 5 points and 3.7 rebounds. Mm. For context, this is a guy who's usually scoring between 10 and 15 points and getting around 15 rebounds a game. He was playing terribly. He had one game where he had 0 points and zero rebounds, oof, which is not good. Great. So they squeak by in the first round. They do make it past the second round. They go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they lose to the Heatles again in six. That series, though, is the infamous Lance Stephenson blowing in LeBron James's ear series. So
yeah,
if you remember that, we'll also put a video to this, but there was an out-of-bounds play happening, and Lance Stephenson, the instigator that he is, was trying to mess with LeBron, and he very seductively blows in LeBron's ear, and LeBron has a delayed reaction and then gives an iconic facial reaction of, are you kidding me? I think it's the funniest thing LeBron has ever done is that facial reaction.
It would have been very funny, not that the Heat would have cared about beating the Pacers, but if they had like recreated that same Pacers photo after defeating them, that'd be such a great troll move.
Man, gosh, that would be good. Or like if enough time passes, the Pacers... And it would be risky. You would like, I guess you'd have to do this if like the Pacers were bad. You would do that. You would do the exact same photo shoot again, like same outfits and everything. But like, I don't think you can do it with a good team. You would have to do it with a team that was really, really bad. So they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then just to add injury to insult, I guess, that offseason is when Paul George had his really bad leg break that we will not put a video to on horsehoops.com.
Yeah, no, never again.
But that happened. So then he was going to be out for the whole year. Lance Stephenson had a weird contract thing where the Pacers didn't offer him a huge deal, so he tried to go somewhere else. And they give him not a lot of time to sign. He ends up going to Charlotte. David West goes to ring chase. Like, the team just completely fell apart that offseason. And a lot of Pacers fans blame it on that infamous GQ photo shoot. So, Adam, that actually happened. The Pacers tried to look like a bunch of sexy R&B singers. And they looked great, but they played poorly afterwards. And that actually happened.
Love it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Horse. Horse is hosted by Adam Amawala and Mike Schubert. Our editor is Kensei Suramaki. The website is by Kelly Schubert. The art is by Allison Wakeman. The music is by Bettina Kambamanas. And the social media is by both of the Horse Boys.
Thank you to our producer-level patrons, Polly Burge, Kendra Hadley, Salvatore Tessa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Don't Go Chasing Taco Falls, Bang, Bang, Roast Beef Debris, How About Them World Champion Denver Steam Nuggets, Anna Reed, Steph Curry for three, but does it really matter if your team sucks?
That was a fart noise.
Fart noise followed by...
Just in case my editing software cleanup takes it
exactly.
Out.
Hi, Trish, Nicole Shepard, Chase Underulo, Mr. Bubbles Plays Ball, Naked Rachel, Josh Isn't Rich, Sidney Crosby is a Vampire, Chelsea's Cousin, Ginger Spurs Boy, and Balls to the Walls. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Horse Hoops and on Twitter at Horse_Hoops because...
Horse Hoops was the photographer of that Pacers GQ photo shoot, and they just, you know, they Larry Bird got to that guy.
Yeah, I mean, as to be expected. Go to our website, horsehoops.com, for links to not only that very sexual, sensual photo, but also some very swarthy Benny the Bull dance moves, Benny flipping alongside the court, and many other Benny shenanigans, and much, much more.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to support the Horse Boys and get a bunch of cool bonus content in exchange for doing so, you can go to patreon.com/horsehoops. Check out bonus video stuff, audio stuff, written stuff. You can also go to horsehoops.com/merch to get Sup Nerds shirts and digital items, all sorts of goodies. But we'll close out this episode by saying something on the count of three in unison, as we always close out the episodes.
Anything you're feeling, Adam? Well, I do believe that this will be... the final episode of 2023, will it not? Am I wrong about that?
I think you are correct about that. Let me pull up a calendar to double check. This will be the last one, so we could say, you know, Happy New Year to everybody. Happy holidays, Happy New Year.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's cover all the bases.
Yeah, we'll say Happy Holidays, Happy New Year on three. One, two, three.
Happy holidays and Happy New Year.
Good luck on your resolutions.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I hope you hit them.
You can do it. We believe in you.
You can do it.
We both believe
in it. Yeah, Steven.
All the Stevens are really thrown right now. And for all of the young Walters, let it be known that we believe in you as well.
Young Walt, we believe in you.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.